Again, Revelation chapter 6. And at the end of last week's study, we began to look into chapter 6 with Jesus beginning to open the scroll, which was sealed with seven separate seals. Now, we know what a scroll basically looks like. Now, it's usually a wooden rod, and or maybe not even a wooden rod, but, you know, it's long paper, if you will, scroll, you know, rolled up in a roll, long roll. And so this scroll, you can just picture, if you first start to unravel it, you know, it's sealed, and then it's unraveled till you get to a part where it's sealed again on that scroll. That seal has to be broken to further reveal the scroll. And that's what John saw here. And as each seal was broken, what was written on the scroll came to life. As the Apostle John began to see visions and hear of things which are to come in the future. And beginning in chapter 6 and all the way through chapter 19, we will be with the Apostle John, and we are placed in the middle of the time that is known as the tribulation. Now, we don't use that word too much in our society, but it's related to God's wrath. And we know of God's, we talk about it a lot, God's love, His grace, and His mercy. Amen? I mean, where would we be without that? Right? His love, His grace, and His mercy. We know He left His throne in heaven to come to this earth to be our Savior. That in itself is mind-blowing, that He'd be willing to do that. But not only come to earth to save us, but to die the most horrible death that you could and be claimed guilty of things that you weren't guilty of, that you were totally innocent. But on the other side of God is His wrath. Okay? And so this is going to be a time where God pours out His wrath upon the earth and upon the people on the earth. And so let's just look ahead in verse 17 of chapter 6. And maybe we'll get there today, but it says, "For the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Right? Well, let's go to chapter 11. Verse 18. "The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your great name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." And let's go to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. And John says, "Then I saw another sign in the heaven, and great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete." So God's wrath will come for a time. Okay? But even Jesus spoke to His disciples about this. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." So we think what's going on in our world today is bad. It's nothing things that are going on in this world are due to Satan, the enemy. And so, again, we know this time has not happened yet because it will be the worst time that the earth and those living have ever gone through, as we'll see. And again, thank the Lord of heaven that when that time of God's judgment comes, those born-again believers who are alive will be taken away through the rapture. When is that day? We don't know. Could be today. Nothing stopping the Lord from coming to take us out of here. And the tribulation begins. We don't know. We don't know. You know, for one thing, I'd rather be raptured than go on hospice. Right? But that's not up to me or you, is it? No. But that's going to happen. Now, remember what the Lord told the church of the Philadelphia church in Revelation chapter 3. Let's turn there. Very interesting. Revelation chapter 3. And he's speaking to a particular church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. He says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth." Okay, so he's going to keep people, Christians, from the hour of trial to test those who will be on the earth when we're gone or when believers are gone. And we'll see, I don't know if it's going to be today, how those people react at that time after the rapture. God's judgment comes upon this earth. How are people going to react? And let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And again, Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. And in verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." So there was persecution going on, but they received his word with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised, whom God raised from the dead, even Jesus, who what? Delivers us from the wrath to come." Okay. So, back in Revelation, this time of tribulation will be for 7 years. But it's broken down into two parts, which each part, with each part, lasting about three and a half years each. And the first of the four seals on the scroll deal with the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And the second 3.5 years, some people refer to that as the Great Tribulation. Okay. But in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1, John said, "Now when I saw the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And behold, and I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, last week we learned that this is not the Lord here. He's riding on a white horse like Jesus is in chapter 19. That is not it. But we learn this is not the Lord here. This is the man called the Antichrist. And he comes on the scene after the rapture of believers. And he's going to look like the world's knight in shining armor, having a, you know, this, our personality. We talked about this last week. I'm not going to get into it again. You know, the world is ripe for someone to come on the scene and figure things out and make a difference in the world. People are ripe for that. But you see, he has a bow, but no arrows, indicating he will conquer the world without warfare and bloodshed at first. And he's able to fool the majority of the world with promises of world peace. Right? Does this world not need peace? Amen. And the world will fall at his feet and honor him as a ruler. And again, we see this thing with globalism talked about a lot lately. You know, the world has gotten a lot smaller. Right? We now see the World Health Organization, right? It's a global thing. European Union, all those different European countries getting together under one umbrella, the European Union, with one different countries having just one type of money. And so globalism, you know, a one world leader is not, you know, far-fetched. But verse 3, and John says, and when he opened the second seal, this is Revelation chapter 6, verse 3, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. And another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it take peace from the earth, and that the people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. So realize that this power was given to him. Okay, but so after Jesus breaks the second seal, we see that peace will be taken from the earth on a much greater scale than even now. Hard to believe, but you know, that could mean more worldwide wars with many more people dying. Hence the color of the rider's horse being blood red. And throughout the Bible, swords are a symbol of military power and strength. And notice that the rider was given a large sword. So it may be that he will have very strong military capabilities. In verse 5, and when he, meaning Jesus, opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarters of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, of course, you know, there's a lot of symbolism in Revelation, but Jesus breaks the third seal, and John sees another rider on a black horse. And he's carrying measurement scales. Now, we associate black with death, darkness. And the idea in verse 6 is that a full day's wage at this time could buy very little. I think we might be getting there, huh? Or a full day's wage. You know, you go to the store just a couple years ago, right? Everybody's talking about eggs. You used to buy eggs for $1.99, maybe even less. Now you go in there and a regular dozen eggs, $6, $7, $8. But how many people are getting raises to balance that out? It's not happening. But this is even going to be worse. And as the worldwide wars would also cause worldwide famine. And none of us were here back then, but World War II, during World War II, the things that we take for granted, like sugar, coffee, butter, meat, cheese, canned goods, shoes, gasoline, they were all rationed. Now, of course, we're experiencing inflation, right? And if you remember, not too long ago, I remember going into the supermarket right here in Stop and Shop, empty shelves in the United States of America. No paper towels, no toilet paper, because everybody went to the store. Right? You think that could never happen. And so these things that we see in the scriptures that, again, maybe, it can happen in a moment's time. Worldwide war could happen in a moment's time, really. With the technologies we have today, absolutely. Somebody being crazy or stupid, you know. But again, it's going to be much more worse during this time. In verse 7, and John says, when he, Jesus, opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him sat on it was Death. And Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Whew. So here the Lord breaks the fourth seal, and John sees a rider named Death on a pale horse. Pale horse and death, meaning the pale color of a corpse. And a rider named Hades, or hell, was with him. And John is shown that they were given power to kill one quarter of the people on the earth. If that happened today, that would be about 2 billion people. 2 billion people would die in a short period of time as a result of wars, the following famine and disease, and maybe even wild animals looking for food also. Or some people think this might have been other leaders. But verse 9, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And so Jesus breaks the fifth seal of the scroll. And John sees a vision of those Christians who were killed. And he sees they are under the altar. And again, this is the time when believers have been raptured, that these things are going on. And so he sees these believers who were killed and sees them under the altar. Why the altar? Well, back in John's day, the altar was used for sacrificing, animal sacrifices to the Lord. And the blood drained out. And so in a similar way, these believers had willingly laid down or sacrificed their own lives. Right? Because it says, the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Which they held. Their testimony of their faith and belief in God. They held on to that even to the point of death. That's what he's saying here. Giving their lives for God. Well, why would anyone do that? Why would they or anyone do that? Well, because they knew that Jesus went to the cross and gave his life, which was for the payment of their sins. Now again, the idea is that they were martyred during the tribulation, and we'll confirm that in chapter 7. But the thing is, aren't all Christians, we talked about, aren't all Christians raptured before the tribulation? Right? We talked about that. So what's going on? Yes, they are taken away. But after the rapture, there will be people who do become Christians, like these here. But they will refuse to follow the Antichrist and this new world order. And because they believe in Jesus and God's word and stick to it, they're executed. And this shouldn't surprise us. Since Jesus' day, millions of people have been put to death for nothing more than having faith in Jesus. It's mind-boggling. How could any human being with any common sense see that what their belief in is good and what people are doing is good? People recently have been killed in Arab countries, Muslim countries, and they were over there helping the Muslim people. That's who they were there for. We're not talking about just men, also, you know, women also. Helping people medically, financially, food-wise. And they were killed because they were Christians. But of course, these people doing that, they're totally influenced by the devil. That's the only reason. And so this persecution has continued to this very day in different parts of the world, even today. And the thing is, take a trip to China and try starting a church and see what happens to you. You'll have to start a prison ministry. And that's if anybody ever sees you again. True. And you know, I don't push books too much, but this book, Jesus Freaks, I've mentioned it before. This book with tons of individual stories about people throughout the ages who had suffered and died for their faith in Jesus. Just some amazing, amazing people. Just staring death in the face. And they're like, go ahead, I'm going to be in a better place. You know, you wonder if I could do that. But I think at that time, God gives you the power to be able to do that, the Holy Spirit to, you know, because it's true. It's true. And I don't know if you hear it, see it, or know it, but the persecution of the Christian church here in the USA is becoming more and more prevalent, even through our own government. There's a church that is suffering some possible massive fines for gathering during COVID, you know, being separated and all that stuff, but while stores like Home Depot and liquor stores were allowed to be open, And I could go on and on and on, but it's going on. It's going on. And so we can understand this in verse 9 of Revelation and the things to come. In verse 10, and these martyrs, they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Now remember, this scene is in heaven. And so John sees these martyrs' souls crying out for God, to God, for his judgment against those on the earth that killed them. Why? I mean, because they know God's judgment is coming. But they're like, how long? How long? Verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Interesting. So each of these martyrs is given a white robe, which signified purity and sinlessness. And they were told to wait a while longer until a certain other number of people were killed who would join them. Now, when you first read that, you're like, why would God want more people to be killed for him? Right? Why wouldn't God just do something so those people wouldn't have to die? That's not the point here. It's not that God wants people to be killed. The point is, those who were martyred had become Christians during the tribulation. So God was actually holding off judgment as long as he could so other people could be saved and come into the kingdom of God. He wasn't waiting for people just to be killed for him. Even in that, during the tribulation, God is extending his grace and mercy. He's still merciful. And we know the scriptures in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 9. You know, talking about God is not slack concerning his promises, but that he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance and salvation. God doesn't want to have to judge this earth, but he's going to have to because of wickedness and sin. But a time will certainly come. And it will be a time of judgment. So what is today? I know it's Sunday. That's not what I mean. What is today? What time is it? Not talking about it being 10 o'clock. Today is the day of what? Salvation. Salvation. That's what the scripture says. Let's turn real quick to the left out of Revelation into 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 13. And this is the same Apostle John who was writing Revelation and seeing all these visions. He says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, underline know, K-N-O-W. What does know mean? Know, you know, so that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I remember first witnessing to a friend of mine in work years ago. you know, and telling them that I'm going to heaven. Oh, who are you? That's pretty presumptuous, isn't it? Who are you to say you're going to heaven? I didn't say it. He said it. The Bible said it. God said it. You can know that you have eternal life. If we're depending on ourselves for salvation, we'll never know. Or, well, we know because we won't. We won't. But we can know because God provided the salvation for us. He paid for mine and your sins. Right? When you pay a fine, they can't hold it against you anymore. We broke God's laws. He paid our fine. The slate is wiped clean. He can't hold those sins against you any longer, just like they can't hold, you know, any judgment against anything we've done that we've paid for. You commit a crime and you do prison time after they come back, you know, 5 years later. Oh, no, you got to go back and do more. No, you paid your time. So today is the day of salvation. Why? Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. How many people went to work in the World Trade Center that day? 9/11. Never. Even if you told somebody it was going to happen, they probably wouldn't believe you. Get out of here. How many? Nobody in a million years would think that that would be their last day on this earth. And how many people didn't even know? It just split second. So it's important that we know and why we know and how it all works. So we can tell other people that, hey, today's the day of salvation, man. And it's not scare tactics. It's reality. And we know these things are going to come true. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But we know these things are going to come true because of biblical prophecy that has already been fulfilled and come to pass. That's how we know. How do we know these things are going to happen? Jesus said they would. Prophets told about many things. God willing, if we're still here, we'll talk about that next week. And so the thing is to call on Jesus while there is hope, while there is grace to save our souls. Because there'll come a time when there is no time. The clock will run out, unfortunately. But it will run out. It will run out. But again, it's amazing that God hasn't judged this earth already. I have a very difficult time even watching the news anymore. It's just, really. You know, but thank God that if he does come, he's going to take us out of here. You know, I'm hoping in the revelation, I'm hoping in the rapture. I'm not hoping in the tribulation. I don't want to be here for the tribulation. That's nothing to look forward to. Looking forward to seeing the Lord face to face. Amen.